was why!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 86 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, once again joined by the man who's more of a Jew than Rudy Giuliani and George Soros combined, Brian. Brian, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and happy Kwanzaa to you, my friend. Welcome back to the podcast.
It's so great to be back. As loyal listeners of the podcast are aware, I was involved in a medical mishap that occurred due to some activities that I had been recommended by some online social media accounts. It did not go as well as I expected. I suffered some injuries. My lawyers have requested that I not discuss them in detail due to ongoing litigation that is currently working its way through the courts in the states of California and New York. I think the lesson here, people, is just because somebody in California says that something is good for you, use your own common sense, use your brain, and don't use your titanium taint.
I mean, I guess when you have mishaps that affect a certain part of the body repeatedly, at what point does it go from being a mishap to a kink?
I cannot talk about it, Ron. I hope you can respect the wishes of my legal team. What I can say to you is that based on the research that I'd conducted on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, this supposedly was something that was only going to take up about 15 minutes of my day, was going to energize me, was going to make me feel better, was going to bring my energy into positive, was going to level my chakras and my chi.
Well, I hope, I'll respect that as long as you respect the burden that you have placed on the employees of the Ron and Brian podcast. Everyone's medical premiums went up 28% due to your little mishap and the cost to our insurance. So just keep that in mind as you indulge your little frivolities moving forward.
I believe that Not all of modern medicine can be resolved by Western medicine. I believe that doctors and big pharma are here to keep you poisoned so that they can profit off of your sickness. I believe that Eastern medicine has a lot to offer. I believe the sun is the most powerful force in the universe. I believe that the sun is the most powerful drug, antibiotic. It is the great stabilizer. The sun has so many healing powers that it's time that we opened ourselves up and exposed ourselves to its powers.
Well, agree to disagree, but the one thing we can always agree on is the podcast is a lot better when we're both drinking.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Trancher.
Pause.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Brian, since you were off for a week, I assume you went out and probably got something really new and unique for drink of the week this week. What do you got?
Yes and no, Ron.
Okay.
Today, because today is our final episode of 2019, because we are celebrating Christmas. Yes, I did say that we're celebrating Christmas. Thanks to our current president, we're now able to say Christmas again. I went into my liquor stock and I pulled out something that I only tap open for moments of celebration. And today I went to my trusted company, my trusted distillery, the Macallan, and busted out their special edition number 3. Little do you, I'm sure you're not really as much of a follower, but once a year, Macallan comes out with what they refer to as their special edition. It is a blend that is in limited quantities put out around the holidays. This year was number 5. Last year was 4. My personal favorite was limited edition number 3, which was drawn from European and American oak casks. Its sweet and fruity character balances the heavier base, which is more recognizable in our single malts, with hints of citrus, vanilla, florals, and fresh cut oak.
And you're just doing that with a big, big ice cube, which is really how it should be done.
And a nice home pour. I take care of myself when I'm pouring at home. Ron, in honor of everything that you have done for me and to me in 2019, I want to say cheers to you, buddy.
Cheers. Drink up. You have you've earned it with your work as well. So I guess so we've got a little bit of a Macallan tie-in this week.
What do you got?
I have gone with our friends at Broken Goblet Brewing in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. This is their Karl the Great Russian Imperial Stout, which they aged in Macallan Scotch barrels prior to bottling. Yes. And not only did they age it, but this has been cellared by me for the last 3 years. It initially started out as 11.1% alcohol. I'm sure the cellaring has just amped that up a bit. You can see it's very dark hue right there. It says it's a bold beer that deserves to be sipped. So let's just sip it here.
That is as dark as a Howard University marching band.
It is strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's got some, and you can taste the Macallan. I'm not lying.
Really? Now, what is the name of this?
This is called Karl the Great. Named after Karl Lacouture, a brilliant man.
This is from Broken Goblet?
This is from Broken Goblet. So I don't know if they bottled this recently, but I'll keep an eye out for you.
Please do so.
Oh, yeah. You definitely get the Scotch undertones at the end there.
Ronald, I cannot believe that you've been hiding this from me.
Well, it was cellared so well, I forgot I had it. But now, as we roll into 2020, we are going to do the Drink of the Week polls again, right?
We've got to bring it back. Can you explain to me and the listeners, more so for the listeners, I understand it fully.
Sure.
What does cellaring mean?
I mean, basically, certain beers you can cellar just like you cellar a bottle of wine. You put it in a dark, cool environment, let it sit so that the flavors can get stronger. The alcohol content sometimes gets a little stronger. You can't really do it with your ales or your lagers for the most part, but your stouts, your porters, those are good ones to age.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
In fact,
We just have to bring back the Drink of the Week.
The next time you're down, actually, for a visit, I have a bottle of Mikeller Black Buffalo. It was a 19% to begin with, and that has been cellaring for 5 years right now.
My goodness.
That's probably the most expensive beer I've personally paid for. It was $24 for a 12-ounce bottle.
No.
I shit you not.
That is pricey.
So we will... Next time you're down.
Now, did your wife go out and obtain 2 pets as a result of you spending so much money on this can of beer?
This was it's probably cellared even longer than that, because I think I got that before she and I even met. So we're probably on 7 or 8 years. So it may just be vinegar at this point, but we'll see.
Interesting. We do have to schedule a trip for me to come down there.
Yes. And as everybody knows, normally we would follow this up with This Week in Racism, and we are... At Racism Madness, we are at the finals, and I was going to play the American Idol sound effect, but I broke it, so we won't. But we're not going to get to the results just yet. We will get to it shortly, probably closer. Yes. Remember how Ryan Seacrest used to do that? Like, they play the music, and he'd be like, and the next person eliminated.
Fuck Ryan Seacrest.
Here tonight.
Ryan Seacrest can eat a dick.
Will be discovered. right after this. All right, we won't do that to people. You're still upset over Ryan Seacrest.
I thought that due to the credentials we had been issued, that catering was available to Ron and Brian last year on New Year's Eve when we recorded in Times Square.
Cut the shit.
Oh, see, he's always out there waiting.
I know that you're upset.
Oh, all right. Let's not. I don't want you getting into a yelling contest with Ryan Seacrest. Let's find out what's bothering us this week with Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, besides a unannounced Ryan Seacrest appearance, what's bothering you this week?
Two different aspects of the holiday greeting card that traditionally people have mailed out to friends and family.
Okay.
I noticed two phenomena that were happening this year that really pissed me off, and I would like to share that with you.
Please do.
All right. The first one. First thing I noticed about the holiday card are people online, specifically I saw this on Facebook, where people are posting, in lieu of printing cards, we are going to be sending out this image that somebody has poorly photoshopped of me and my family, and we are using this as our holiday card.
So kind of like mailing it in, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely. I believe that I saw this about four different areas this year. And some are from listeners of the podcast.
Sure.
So I'm not, you know, I am not trying to win popularity here. I would have preferred them to have just posted a photo of, hey, here's some, you know, some of my favorite photos from the year with me and my family. Or here's a great photo of me and my family wishing you the very best.
And they did not.
No, they made a point of creating a post on Facebook to say, this year we're not printing creating cards because of the environment, so we're just sending this lazy-ass photo.
And what was that your lone beef about holiday cards?
No, that was my first beef.
Okay.
There's a second beef. Families who are only putting their children on the holiday card.
Interesting.
I want to see the whole family.
Okay.
Why is it that mom and dad are not on the card, but Junior and Scruffy I can see in five different places?
Now, more importantly, what did you think of the holiday card that Susan and I sent you?
Lovely.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Good.
There was a couple nice photos of you, a couple pictures of the cats, some photos of the two of you. It was exactly what one would expect. It was a picture of the entire family.
I'm glad it passed muster with you.
You either do it or you don't do it. If you're not going to do it, just say, hey, here's a nice photo from my family to yours. Season's greetings.
Fair enough.
Well, but if you're going to print up cards, listen, I'm on a roll here. You're going to have to take a half a step back.
Not a problem.
And then if you're going to do, if it's a family moment, it's not that I don't want to see pictures of your kids, but it's the family that is interesting me.
Holidays are about family, so the entire family should be included.
That's what I thought.
All right. Can I go on now?
What was your beef?
All right. My beef this week was with Uber, actually.
Whoa. Uber.
Uber, yes.
How did they piss you off?
A technology company that doesn't seem to do technology all that well at times. So we had our little holiday potluck luncheon in my sales office on Monday. And I always like to get my folks a little gift. Like I get each of them the same thing every year. So
herpes?
Sometimes. Depends on the year. Depends on the flare-up.
Okay.
But this year I was like, why don't I get them an Uber gift card? That way, everybody either Uber somewhere or they use Uber Eats. Like, everybody has an Uber account. So, couldn't find Uber gift cards anywhere. Like last year, they were all over the place. This year, really? Couldn't find them anywhere. So I go to the Uber website, and you can order them to be like digitally delivered and printed out and all that. So I'm like, this is perfect. I'll order 6 of them. I'll get them emailed to me. I'll print them out. I'll put them in the holiday cards I'm giving these folks. Because this was on a Sunday. I needed it for Monday at lunchtime. So placed all my orders, get a email from Uber saying thank you for your order, get a second email from Uber saying, hey, got your order, it's in process, you'll get your gift card shortly. I'm like, all right. So wait around all night on Sunday. Of course, their customer service isn't open, so I gotta wait till Monday at like 8 a.m. and I still don't have the gift cards, so I call up and I'm on hold for a few minutes, and I'm finally like, hey, I need these gift cards. And they're like, well, didn't you get the email? I'm like, well, I got 2 emails from you saying that the order was fine. They're like, oh, you should have gotten a 3rd email because there was an issue processing the gift cards. I'm like, oh, well, I didn't get that one. What's the issue? I'm not allowed to tell you.
What?
Okay. I'm like, can we resolve this now? No, I'll need to resend you the email and you'll have to do whatever it says in the email. I'm like, the email that I didn't get, you're going to send that again? Yes.
Right.
Well, what if I don't get it again? Well, wait a half hour. And if you don't get it, call back.
Right.
I'm like, call back to be told yet again that I'll be sent an email that I won't get. So long story short, I didn't get it. I waited.
Did you get the email?
I did not get the email. So I waited. Waited a couple hours. Now I'm like at the point where I'm going to have to come up with a solution if I can't get these gift cards. And so I call and they're like, did you not get the email? I'm like, didn't get the email. I'm like, can I just give you whatever information you need over the phone? They're like, well, we'll send the email out again. I'm like, the email that I didn't get the first 2 times, you're going to send out again. They're like, yes. I'm like, how about we just cancel the order? Oh yeah, we can do that. And there it is. And sure enough, like 4 hours later, I got all 3 emails at the same time.
What did it say was the reason for the issue?
They needed me to like photocopy the credit card, like photocopy a copy of my credit card statement. Like they needed all this crazy stuff.
Really?
Even though I had already entered my, you know, and it's the same card I use for Uber. So
right.
Had I ordered an Uber, they would have charged the card. Ordering a gift card apparently was something that, I don't know. So not the
suspicious in nature.
Not the best look, Uber. But you know what was good looking? Our continued role in NFL picks.
Woo!
We held back because we don't feel that holidays are the time for people to be gambling their lives away. You should be focused on family. You should be buying each other gifts. So we held back. But rest assured, we continued our unbeaten streak. Here we are, week 17, right before the playoffs. Always a crazy week of betting. You've got teams that are in must-win situations. You've got teams that are resting their starters. And you have teams that are just playing possibly to tank and get a good draft pick. So who are you picking this week, Brian?
Going to keep it simple here. Green Bay goes into Detroit. Lions, nothing to play with. No pride, no anything on their side of the plate. So therefore, we're going to take the Green Bay Packers laying 12.5 on the road. Then we fly all the way over to Buffalo, where the Bills are laying only a 1.5 points against the Jets. I think the Jets had a few moments of hope in midseason. They've got nothing at this point. Buffalo breaking tables, breaking the Jets' hearts. Take the Bills -1.5.
All right, I like those picks. I'm going to go out to Cincinnati. You've got the Bengals, which with absolutely no reason to win. They've only got 1 win for the season. They want to lock up that #1 pick for next year. Meanwhile, you've got the Browns playing for a little bit of pride. Browns are giving 3 points. I'm taking Cleveland -3. And then we've got Patriots, Dolphins. This might be a little bit of a shocker, Brian, but I feel Patriots are going to rest a lot of their players. They don't really have a heck of a lot to play for. New England is favored by 15.5. I'm going to take Miami plus the points.
I am shocked.
It's a brave pick, but I like it.
All right.
Hoo-ah.
Wow, you are really going out on a limb here.
A little bit. All right, so those of you long-term listeners of the Ron and Brian podcast, you know, towards the end of last year, we made some predictions for 2019. So we're going to revisit, see if any of those predictions came true, and a little thing we like to call Ron and Brian predictions.
Ron and Brian predictions.
All right, Brian, any predictions that you had for 2019 that ended up coming true?
Of course.
So why don't you shout some of them out? Give yourself a little pat on the back.
Are we going to start? I thought we would go one and one.
Yeah, that's fine. We can do that too.
Because last year we did 10. I know you did 10. I did 10. I think we should just go down our list, alternate.
All right.
And then we'll just compare our numbers. Right. My first prediction last year was that the United States House of Representatives will start impeachment proceedings against Donald Trump. That is correct.
All right. You got that one right. Let's see. I said President Trump will embarrass himself on the international stage multiple times this year. Giving myself the yes on that one.
Not even close. I said that the stock market will end the year lower in December than it was in January, barring an act of God and a terrorist attack and a nuclear bomb going off in the middle of Washington, D.C. That is not going to turn out to be true. I was wrong on that.
I said after the success of Toy Story 4, Tom Hanks will sign on to produce, direct, and star in Saving Private Ryan 2, where he'll play the son of his character in the original movie, tasked to save Matt Damon's character from the horrors of the VA nursing home he now lives in. Unfortunately, not true. I would have loved to have seen that.
Still could happen. I said that the Golden State Warriors were going to win the NBA Finals. I was incorrect. The Warriors did make the Finals. Unfortunately, they lost to the Toronto Raptors in 6 games.
All right. Let's see. Trump will attempt to bribe every federal judge in the country, none of whom will accept his IOUs due to his poor credit history. Do you feel we know enough to give that a yay or a nay?
I'm going to say we don't know enough, but it's likely a no.
All right. Fair enough.
I said that the that Robert Mueller was going to be fired by the Department of Justice.
All right.
Instead, he just released a whack-ass report that showed he had no backbone and was not willing to take a stand on anything, and basically wasted all of my hopes and dreams.
I said that Brian will injure himself multiple times throughout the year due to falling while walking. Brian, you can tell me if that's true or not.
That is not true, Rob.
Damn. And I guess maybe I saw your perineum in the vision, and I just thought it was causing you to trip and fall, but I guess just a little off base. I was close.
I did fall several times last year in your presence.
That's true.
I said also that Russia will invade an Eastern European country. I guessed Ukraine. I was wrong on both fronts. Russia has not invaded anyone.
All right. Nancy Pelosi will become president after the indictment of Trump and Pence. She will then order the public execution of Senator Chuck Schumer to prove she isn't fucking around. Unfortunately, on all counts, that was wrong.
I said that a Brexit deal will be negotiated between the UK and the European Union. I'm going to say correct on that one.
I'm going to give you that one.
In October, an updated deal was negotiated and ratified most recently by about a week and a half ago by the British voters.
Yes, I will give you that. I'm man enough to admit that. Let's see. After coming to the conclusion that all men are horrible, Ariana Grande and Taylor Swift will start dating. However, their celebrity couple nickname, Taylana Grift, will never catch on. Damn it. I really wanted that one to come true, and it just did not.
How in God's name did I forget Taylana Grift?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. I said that more U.S. citizens will be killed by guns in 2018. And I'm going to say that I'm going to take a correct one on this one. There were 14,970 homicides by guns so far in 2019. Last year, similar, 14,789. We are already almost 200 more than last year.
Prediction.
Now, here's an Here's an interesting statistic, and I don't know whether you realize this. In 2019, how many people were killed by suicide versus homicide?
By suicide versus homicide, I couldn't even venture a guess.
15,000 by homicide, almost 24,000 by suicide. Hmm. So when you think of gun violence, it is more likely that you will die by your own gun, by your own hand, than by somebody shooting you to death.
All-encompassing.
I was not aware of that until today.
No. All right. I said the New York Yankees will win the 2019 World Series. And painfully, that was not the case.
No, you were wrong on that one. I said that Tupac will be found alive. Nope, not yet.
We still think you're alive, Tupac. Stay strong. Finding herself unemployed after the Trump impeachment, Kellyanne Conway will pitch a new reality show about her turbulent marriage called It's Conway or the Highway. Might still come true, but just not in 2019.
I said that the Ron and Brian podcast will be picked up by a podcasting network.
Son of a bitch.
We have we've not been picked up yet, but we are open to inquiries.
Yes. Barron Trump will shock his family and the world when he announces that he has joined the exploratory committee for Joe Biden's 2020 presidential run. Do I at least get partial credit for predicting Joe Biden's presidential run?
No.
You're a tough man. All right.
Now, here's one that I'm going to depend on you for. Okay. I think I'm wrong, but I said that Ron will divorce his wife and embrace the furry lifestyle.
Sorry, that did
Damn
not
it.
Happen. And then,
damn it.
I said Ron and Brian will split up, starting the Great Podcast War and ushering in 1,000 years of darkness. We're still more in love than ever. Who
of
are
course.
We kidding?
More love. More love.
All right. Well, then that brings us to a new year and 2020 predictions.
How many did you get right in 2019?
So I'm guessing I got two. Let's see. One. Not even two. I got one. Man, I'm not
really.
That
I got three.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you are. That's like
I
Long
the,
Island
I got
medium
the,
type numbers, my friend.
Hey, I'm hitting 300. I'm like the Wade Boggs of predictions.
There you go.
Clairvoyant.
But have you done predictions for 2020?
I have done my 2020 predictions.
All right.
Gaze
I'll let
into
you start.
Our crystal balls.
All right. My first prediction coming up here.
Prediction.
All right. After losing in the AFC Championship game, Tom Brady will retire to spend more time making out with his son.
Oh, gross. I said that Joe Biden will win the Democratic nomination for president.
All right. Kind of low-hanging fruit, but all right. Number two, not only will the GOP vote to acquit Donald Trump in the Senate impeachment trial, they will also vote him Miss Congeniality.
You can see who took this seriously and who didn't. I said that Donald Trump will be reelected president of the United States for a second term.
Ron and Brian, mediums in predictions, extra large. In the pants.
All right, continuing his string of frat boy jokes, Elon Musk will announce that the Tesla Cybertruck will have the equivalent of 420 horsepower and a 69-inch drivetrain.
The New York Yankees will win the World Series.
Oh, number four. The New York Yankees will win the 2020 World Series. Yes!
Yes! Yes!
Keep our fingers crossed. All right, next up, Papa John will be hospitalized after eating 400 pizzas in 30 days. He will survive, but will sweat garlic sauce for the rest of his life.
Can you explain to me the garlic sauce with pizza?
I can't. I mean, I will tell you, when I'm drunk enough, in my younger days, I would eat the crust dunked in the garlic sauce.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
I mean, I guess you could really dunk anything in the garlic sauce, but I would eat the pizza and then dunk the crust in the garlic sauce.
Because I noticed that if you go to a normal pizzeria, they do not offer you garlic sauce.
As they
but
should
But for
not.
Some reason, if you go to Domino's, they don't offer you garlic sauce. But there's something about Papa John's where it seems like every pizza comes with dunking sauce.
Their thing was the garlic sauce and the pepperoncinis in the box.
What are the pepperoncinis?
Those are like the green, the light green peppers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The little hot pepper. Well, I like that. Did I say that the stock market will end lower?
Are you predicting that again?
It will. The stock market will be lower at the end of 2020 by comparison to where it is at the beginning of the year.
All right. My next prediction is that the Ukraine will open an investigation on the Biden campaign when it's discovered that the No Malarkey Express actually contains 22% malarkey.
Oh. 2019 will be declared the hottest year on record.
I mean, that's just obvious, but all right. Let's see. Still my next prediction,
my friend.
What's that?
Still a prediction, right. My friend.
My next prediction.
I'm going for numbers here.
Brian will open up about his perineum pain fetish, ironically, in an interview on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, Ron, it's not intentional. My next prediction is that I will get married again.
Oh, I mean, that's a pretty solid prediction. Let's see. My next prediction is that Martin Scorsese and Netflix will release The Irishman Part 2, which will just be 6 hours of Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, Ray Liotta, James Caan, Robert Duvall, and Chaz Palminteri arguing over who gets to eat the last cannoli.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going
to
watch
Ron
it.
And Brian. Ron and Brian will not be invited back to the Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
Clairvoyant AF.
All right. Mike Bloomberg will be elected president after promising to give every voter $20,000 and a free year of Disney Plus.
Joaquin Phoenix wins the Oscar for Best Actor for his role in Joker.
Beating out Adam Sandler, you think?
Yep.
All right. That was your final prediction?
No, I have two more.
You do? Oh, you came up with a lot this year then.
No, I did 10. You started, and then at one point you snuck in two when we mentioned the New York Yankees.
Oh, I must have been confused then. All right, well, give me one more, and then I'll do one.
There will be a significant terrorist attack on a U.S. embassy overseas.
All seen,
and then I felt the need, because I am using a Google Drive document for this, I felt the need to write in parentheses, I hope it doesn't happen, but we are overdue. Because I figure if you start writing terrorist attack U.S. embassy, immediately the NSA is going to get flagged for this file.
Yes. All right, my final prediction.
I'm not looking to catch a crime.
Ron and Brian will continue to deliver amazing content every week, both for free and for subscribers at patreon.com/theRonandBrianPodcast.
Ron, I'm going to call it right now. Give yourself some dings. That is correct. My last one. One more.
Okay.
Thank you. My last prediction is that Ron will divorce his wife and embrace the furry lifestyle.
You're rolling the dice on that one yet again, huh?
I predicted that for 2018. I was wrong. I predicted it for 2019. I was wrong. I think I got a chance this year.
Okay. Fair enough, my friend. Well, those are predictions for 2020. If you would like to share any of your own, you can go to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com and go to the Contact Us page. But one other big thing that's going to be happening in 2020, it is the Ron and Brian 2020 Death Pool. I should have had some sort of introductory music for that.
I would have thought you did.
Yeah, I'm running out. Wait, hold on. There we go. The Ron and Brian 2020 Death Pool. Bum, 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 ba-dum. All right, Brian, have you, you got me your list of Death Pool choices today, correct?
Yes. Now, can you explain to me how this works? Because I've been in death pools before. I have not been in one in years, but there's a scoring system to our death pool.
We have and many different death pools score differently. We are going off of an age-based system out of 100. So if you pick someone and they do pass away in 2020, we will take their age at the time of passing and subtract it from 100, and that'll be the points that you get. So for example, if you pick someone and they are 75 years old when they die, we subtract that 75 from 100, and you get 25 points for that death.
Interesting. So it's more advantageous to pick a 25-year-old that is living a poor quality life.
And that's why we went with 20 choices, because you can go with some, you know, people that are pretty close to death, and then you can also throw a few younger people in there that you think are in a high-risk lifestyle category.
I was surprised that so many people online seem to be going after Betty White.
I mean, we don't want to give out any hints to anybody, but there were some people that are, you know, that they're going after people that seem spry, seem like they should be around for a few more years, but you never know. And to clarify for some people out there, you do not want to pick anyone over the age of 100. So, for example, if you picked John McCain's mother, who is 106 years old, if she passes away, you actually lose 6 points. So just don't do it.
Should I have picked Tupac or no?
You know, if they are already confirmed dead, we know he's not. But if he's already confirmed dead, technically you should not have done so.
All right.
Can we announce the prizes? Should we announce the prizes we're giving away?
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to award the top three finishers in the 2020 death pool. First prize gets $150 in cash. Oh, yeah. Second prize, $50 in cash.
Nice.
And third prize, you'll get yourself a Ron and Brian swag bag. So good prizes all around. We are going to be posting a link to the Google form where you can submit your 20 choices on our social media. The deadline to get your entries in is midnight on December 31st. So you got a little less than a week. So start thinking about it. Get those answers in. And once we have all of the entries in, we will be sharing a spreadsheet so that everyone can check as people die throughout the year.
Now, how can people go about entering this contest?
So they can either send us their email address and we will email them the Google form directly, or if they click on the Google form link that we post on our social media pages, they will be taken to the form and they can just fill out their own unique entry.
All right. I think this is exciting.
It's very exciting.
Something that we'll be able to track it throughout the year. And I would love to see a lot of entries. I think, you know, the idea that there's real money on the line, you know what we can do is take that $150 for first place and use some of that to purchase a really big check. And then we can meet the winner in person to deliver the winnings.
All right. I like that idea. I like the way you think.
Thank you.
I would say we should put that money into the stock market, but based on your prediction, that may not be a great idea next year.
What goes up must come down. The stock market has had a great run. I believe that it is being propped up by the Federal Reserve, which is soaking the financial markets with trillions of dollars right now to keep liquidity in the market that obviously will flow into stocks eventually, which is why we are seeing some weak economic numbers, yet still continuing to see the S&P 500 and the Dow and the NASDAQ going up. I think eventually that is going to have to stop.
And I know, you know, all this stock market talk can be very confusing for our listeners. So we're going to try and educate you a little bit in 2020. We're going to be rolling out a new segment called Ron and Brian's Really Angry Money, where we'll give you some of our stock picks. And again, if they're half as good as our NFL picks, you know you're going to make some money. So keep an ear out for that in 2020. Brian, are you excited about Really Angry Money?
I think it's going to be great. I think that one of the problems that we have in America is that I don't think that we are doing a good enough job really educating the populace on what is going on in the financial markets. I don't think a lot of people understand what it means to short a stock. I don't think that people understand what a moving average is. I don't think people understand what an index is. And I think here's an opportunity for us to say to our listeners, these are things that you should know, but we're going to scream it at you in a very angry tone because that is the only way we know how to communicate.
I look forward to it.
It's going to be fun. It's going
to
be fun.
You know what else I'm starting to look forward to each and every Christmas Eve? It's the holiday message delivered to us by Kevin Spacey as his character, Frank Underwood, from House of Cards. This is the second year in a row he posted a video message. We've got the audio from it right here.
You didn't really think I was going to miss the opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas, did you? It's been a pretty good year, and I'm grateful to have my health back. And in light of that, I've made some changes in my life, and I'd like to invite you to join me. As we walk into 2020, I want to cast my vote for more good in this world.
Ah, yes, I know what you're thinking. Can he be serious?
I'm dead serious. And it's not that hard, trust me. The next time someone does something you don't like, you can go on the attack, but you can also hold your fire and do the unexpected. You can kill them with kindness.
I mean, do you even need the dramatic sound at the end there?
Well, it's just incredibly poor timing, because less than 24 hours after that video comes out, one of his accusers, the ex-boyfriend of a Norwegian princess, Ari Ben, is found dead at 47 after a lifetime bout with alcoholism.
Mm. So when Kevin Spacey
starts talking about killing them with kindness, and then one of his accusers shows up dead very quickly, I think the optics here are quite poor.
Yes, he came forward back in December of 2017. He accused Spacey of groping him under a table at a Nobel Peace Prize concert back in 2007. Kevin Spacey never responded to that allegation and could not be reached for comment on the passing.
Which is a shame, because I would have liked to comment.
Although, kudos to the New York Post for linking to the story when they first put it out with the title, Norwegian Royal Claims Kevin Spacey Groped His Crown Jewels.
Ah, that's clever. Listen, I'm going to say this, that I a good copy editor is just a... It can make or break an entire organization.
So here's a question. You know, because we've talked about redemption in these past few weeks with Michael Vick and people like that. You know, considering that all charges have been dropped in cases that were brought against Kevin Spacey, and he has a number of accusers that, due to them not being alive anymore, he can't confront, should he be allowed to resume his career as an actor?
No.
And why is that?
Because I believe that he's guilty of something. I don't know what. I just believe that due to the number of individuals stepping forward with allegations against him, he must have been guilty of at least one of them. The story of the little kid at a dinner party that Spacey got hammered and then he started mauling the kid in a bedroom. Gross. Just gross. I think I don't want to see Kevin Spacey act. I don't know about you. And what I find just surreal is how he does not. He seems to be so out of touch with the society that we're in right now, where he feels that if he puts a wig on and some makeup and talks in a southern drawl, that we are going to be so enamored by a glimpse into the past of his House of Cards character, that will just sit there and immediately, like, just, you know, this public thrall will take over and we'll all just be demanding his return.
Creepier person at this point in time, Kevin Spacey, R. Kelly, Bill Cosby. Your opinion.
Mm. Well, how do you define creepy?
You define it however you want.
Okay, well, I'm going to say creepy as in, right now I'm going Kevin Spacey, and it's because of these videos. Bill Cosby just basically denied and said they're all lying. R. Kelly basically gave histrionics in public, saying that demanding. I mean, when you're sitting across the table from Gail, Withers, Gail Jennings, Gail, help me out here.
Gail King.
I'm dying. Gail King, yes. When you're talking to Gail King and you feel the need to stand up and say, "They're killing me over here. I'm dying. I'm fighting for my life." Like, when you're doing that, I mean, you got to sit there and go, you know what? He's putting a lot of effort in. He's trying. He really wants you to believe. But when you've got someone who sits there and goes, "Oh, you didn't think that I was just going to walk away. But yeah, now that I'm medically bad." Like, when was Kevin Spacey not medically? When was Kevin Spacey not well?
See, I feel that that
when
is...
When was his character not well?
They kill him off in the show, but I feel his health reference is more... I feel that's him alluding to all of the cases against him being dropped. Like, that was what I felt the takeaway was, is that his health problems are gone, meaning his legal problems are gone.
Now that you've learned that I have gotten away with trying to molest young men of various ages, I want you to know something. Kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
No, that's fucking creepy. I would actually put him into, almost in the line with, so he's somewhere between Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein.
All right. Well, moving on. You know what else is a great annual tradition that we have around here at the podcast is looking at the Pornhub's year in review. They always come out with some great... I mean, I know you're a big data guy. I'm a big data guy. We love big, hard data. And Pornhub gives that to us each and every year. So, Brian, I know you have held off on reading through some of this. So I'm going to see how, if you've got the finger on the pulse of the Pornhub perineum, if you will.
I don't have my finger on the pulse. I do have it in my butt.
All right. Even better. Let's first look at most searched for terms of 2019. We do have a new number one search term after a lot of searching. And what do you think the number one most searched term in 2019 on Pornhub was?
Lesbian,
last year's number one, now down two spots to number two.
Then I'm going to say anal.
Let's see here. Anal is... I wish they would number this. Well, so anal is down one to number nine.
Family,
not in the top 20 that they have here.
I don't know.
It's fairly obvious. I mean, what's a genre of porn that you're big into?
Twins.
No twins. Number one.
Really?
Up four places from last year, Japanese.
Really?
Yes.
Is this over the entire world, or is this
apparently
just in America?
It's their entire search catalog.
So you're going to tell me that the entire world now embraces my love of Japanese porn?
Apparently. So Japanese up four to number one. Hentai holding steady at number two. Lesbian down two to number three. What do you think's after lesbian?
Blowjob.
Oh, man, you are very, very boring. MILF. MILF is down to number four. And then, I mean, these all sound about the same. I mean, Korean up 5 points. Next up, Asian up 2 points. Stepmom, surprisingly, down three. And let's run through the rest of the list. Massage, anal, we already mentioned. Ebony, big ass. Teen taking a big drop, 5 places. Threesome, this is disturbing. Anime up 7. Public up 3. Or excuse me, public up 8. Cream pie up 2. Big tits down one. Chinese down three. Gangbang up one. Latina up
good.
Five. A lot of inclusiveness going on here. Cartoon down five. Indian up eight. The biggest jump year over year. BBC up 11 spots. JOI down one.
Hold on. What was that? JOI?
JOI.
What does that stand for?
That would be jerk off instruction.
No, wait a second. Wait a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're telling me that people are watching videos on Pornhub on how to masturbate?
Well, the porn star will talk you through the process.
Hold on a second.
Has this opened up a whole new world in Brian's life?
What is this?
And then the final search for is squirt. So that's holding steady at the bottom of the list.
So it's just girls. Wait a minute. You got to stop me here. So it's just girls staring at the screen, encouraging me to jerk off.
Correct.
Now, this is news to me. I will come back with my review next week on JOI.
All right.
But I first will just bookmark this in my folder. I'm going to put this under podcast.
All right,
there we go.
Now, looking at top 20 countries by traffic, who do you think the number one country in traffic on Pornhub was last year?
Got to be America.
U.S., USA, USA. More than three times the use of the number two country, Japan, then United Kingdom, Canada, and France. Top 20 countries contribute to 79% of the daily traffic on Pornhub. Who do you think spending the most amount of time per visit on Pornhub by country?
I'm going to say Pakistan.
Pakistan, not on the list. Number one, even though they're down 12 seconds from last year, Thailand at 11 minutes, 21 seconds. U.S. coming in a scant fourth at 10 minutes, 36 seconds. Average duration worldwide, 10 minutes, 28 seconds, up 15 seconds from last year. Female visitors watch 23 seconds longer than male visitors.
Now, I have a question here.
Yes.
Now, is that on your average on watching a video for that period of time, or is that from the time somebody goes onto the website before they close out the window?
Time on the website till the time they depart.
Oh.
Yes. All right, now they've even broken it down even further. What state do you think lasts the longest time spent per visit in the U.S.?
In the United States.
In the United States.
I'm going to say Washington State.
Washington State, you would be incorrect. That is Mississippi at 11 minutes, 26 seconds. The state that lasts the shortest.
It's so hard to find the right cousin video on, you know, when you're in Mississippi. It's so difficult to find the video with your cousins in it.
Correct. The shortest state, Kansas, at 9 minutes, 59 seconds. The third lowest state per visit, New York, at 10 minutes, 12 seconds. Brian, put in the work.
I take credit for a lot of those.
Get the state up there.
I take a lot of credit for that.
So, but it really is. I would encourage you to go to the Pornhub most viewed categories again, kind of mirroring the search term. Japanese, the most viewed category. Lesbian next. Amateur. Hentai. I don't get this hentai, but you know, whatever.
I don't even know what hentai is.
It's that Asian anime. A lot of tentacle porn, I think, is in there.
I don't get the tentacle stuff.
And you gotta see the map, because they literally do a map of the world and they highlight, you know, what the top category is by, you know, area. And like all of North America, lesbian. Most of South American, lesbian. All of Europe and Asia is either hentai or Japanese.
Interesting. Yes. So that's what they're into.
Yes. And the biggest category watched in Africa, I guess Central and Lower Africa, ebony. But then you've got this little category right around Egypt, it looks like, anal, biggest category there.
So Egypt is into the anal.
It would appear that way.
Well, hot damn. Good for them.
Let's see what else do we have here. Top gaining categories. Amateur was up 108%. Verified couples up 93%. Tattooed women up 85%. Categories viewed the longest. Mature at 15 minutes, 3 seconds. Categories viewed the shortest. Scissoring at 7 minutes, 23 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Scissoring. People are still watching scissoring.
Apparently so. Not that long, but they are watching it.
Okay. I think I just opened the same link. I find interesting how many of the top 5 female performers in the porn star category are you familiar with?
Let's see here. I was not. Number one was Lana Rhodes, correct?
Yes.
Who I was not overly familiar with. Mia Khalifa. I think everyone's familiar with Mia. Riley Reid. Yes. Abella Danger. Yes. Brandi Love. Not so much. So I am familiar with 3 out of the top 5.
I think I'm familiar with 4 of the top 5. I don't know what Abella Danger looks like.
Brandi
Love, I believe, is a MILF. Riley Reid has been around for way too long for her age.
And Mia is technically... Rhodes, the funny thing is Mia is technically retired. She hasn't done a new porn in 3 years.
She's out of the game. And the only thing I know about Lana Rhodes, and I would not know the name until earlier this year, her Instagram account was deleted by Instagram. I think they made some kind of claim that she had violated their community guidelines. And she posted, she created a new account and posted a truly embarrassing video of her crying uncontrollably while trying to explain that she did nothing wrong. And that made its rounds on the on social media, and somebody forwarded it to me because it was truly terrifying. That's the only reason I know her name.
Well, I will have to do some more research on these porn stars. In the meantime, Brian, we are down to the big moment.
This.
No.
Week.
In.
Racism.
Well,
racism.
Brian, it has been one hell of a year in racism again, unfortunately. Let's start off with our consolation match. We had Corinne Tyrone. She was the number one seed in the Trump University region, going up against Nancy Goodman, number two seed in Dolce and Gabbana region. This one was not even close from the get-go. Corinne Tyrone is our third place finisher, 70% of the vote to 30% of the vote. That brings us to the championship match. And what a match we had,
Brian. Should we be congratulating Corinne Tyrone?
I mean, I don't know if congratulations is in order. I guess maybe congratulations on it not being the absolute worst person of the year, but still a fairly horrible person in and of herself.
She did come in third. She did come in third.
She did.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But that championship match, it was Jean Kramer, number two seed in the Paula Deen region, going up against Days and Dave, number one seed in the Stephen Miller region. As we mentioned, we were going to make donations for every vote cast to the ACLU. Total count, $210 being donated to the ACLU. So thank you to all of our listeners out there for voting in the Facebook and Twitter polls. This one was kind of... Yeah, please, go.
Can I ask you a favor?
Of course.
Can you make the donation this year? Last year, I made it to the Southern Poverty Legal Law Center, and my mailbox has been, how do I say this politely, really hit up by those fine people. And I don't know that I could handle both them and the ACLU. Maybe we can alternate. I will gladly send you my half of the money.
I will take care of it. Not a problem. Well, we had, again, we had Jean Kramer going up against Days in Dave. Jean Kramer went out to an early lead. Days in Dave rallied, but it was not enough. Jean Kramer takes the win, 62% to 38%. We knew back when her videos came out and she gave that 6.5-minute rambling, insanely racist interview to her local news station that maybe she had the legs to make it. And sure enough, she has made it to the end. She is the 2019 Obalon Brewing presents the Ron and Brian's Races of the Year tournament winner. So congrats, Gene Kramer. Nice round of applause for her here.
Gene,
I'm telling you,
congratulations.
I'm spent with all this racism. I only hope that at some point we don't need to do Racist of the Week. But again, this year we've got our racist tournament. We've got another year in the books. Final podcast for 2019. Brian, any thoughts before we end the year here on the podcast?
Well, I think looking back on the tournament, I think, you know, what you saw here were, I think, you know, the first round, I think voters were really going with their gut, their immediate reaction to the level of racism. I think that as we got into the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and clearly in our championship round, you could see that suddenly the voting public started to focus more on the cold, calculated racism rather than the fits of violence and anger. Gene Kramer, I will say this, we will always remember you here on the Ryan and Brian podcast. I think we should try and find some contact information, reach out to her, and let her know that she is our racist of the year.
All right. Any final words in general before we end this episode and head on over to the Patreon?
Yeah, fuck this decade. Let's start fresh next week. New decade, new year, January. I'm walking into it optimistic. Yourself?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready for 2020 to be a great year and the start of a great decade. As always, love doing the podcast. Look forward to continuing to do it. Hope you folks continue to listen. Don't forget to go to ronandbrianpodcast.com to links to all of our social media pages and our contact us page. Don't forget to join the 2020 Death Pool. And of course, we'd appreciate it if maybe you think about subscribing at patreon.com. You can find that in the upper right-hand corner of the page. So we'll be recording that Patreon. But in the meantime, we're going to close things out by reflecting on those one hate-filled moments of our racists of the year.
White power.
This is for all the coons, spooks, and niggers you kick, please.
Don't like niggers, President Trump.
The cops are cold for no reason. You're running your big mouth. You're an ugly sight, and all this time, no one knew just how hard you hate. But now it shows in one hate-filled moment, you look like a fool. One hate-filled moment, you're such a damn tool.
There's a trespasser in my building.
The video is shot, and you're ranting on. Much hate you smarts, you're a waste of life. And when you're done spewing vile, you always show your worst. Cause inside you know, the one hate-filled moment, you're empty deep inside. One hate-filled moment, wishing others weren't alive.
I'm Parker Mushroom, and I hate black people.
Feel the glares from the crowd. Feel the spit in your face. You're such a damn moron. You're so out of place.
Ain't a damn thing wrong with the burning cross in your shirt, is it? My dad is black. My dad is black. I'm not racist.
Yeah.
It's fine. We just need niggers gone.
You fucking Jacob.
And when you're done hating all, you say you're superior. Truth is, you suck. That one hate-filled moment, you pollute the gene pool. One hate-filled moment, screw you.
Come on, boy. Come on, prison boy.
One hate-filled moment, feel free to go die. One hate-filled moment, screw you.
Do fucking happen, you goddamn nigger!
You're so stupid, nigger.
One hate-filled moment.
Keep Marysville a white community.
And this black guy got up in front of me and said, "Are you talking to me, bitch?" And I said, "No, I'm not, nigger."
I would kill a nigger, but the law says I can't kill the niggers. If the law didn't say that I couldn't kill the niggers, they'd all be dead.